Sister Teresa's told me one time that thing about connect the dots concerning the things we're talking about in the men's meeting, what we get in Sunday school, what we get in church. There's a reason for months and months and months and months now we keep hearing about faith. We keep hearing about the church. We keep hearing about place in the church. And our pastor, God love him, preaches come to church. There's a reason for that. And it, you know, a lot of people like to come to church. I'm getting ahead of myself. Zach, put up Matthew 18:18, please. That's not the first place I'm going to... Well, I'll start with that place to read from first. This is Jesus talking. He says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, in that phrase, the first word is whatsoever. It's like the word all. There are conditions. But when you meet those legitimate conditions in God's kingdom, he means exactly what he said. That is, my God, that's mind-boggling. You think about it. Mind-boggling. And then the later part of the verse says, whatever you shall bind in heaven or bind on earth and loose on earth shall be done in heaven. What that means, shall be done in heaven, means God is saying, when you do what I want you to do, the way I want you to do it, in the manner I want you to do it, I got you covered. I got you back, to put it in some local words. When God's got you covered, you can't get no more covered than that. Praise the Lord. And notice this. Jesus is talking here, and he said, you. Whatsoever you. He didn't say whatsoever me or I or whatsoever the Father or the Holy Spirit or anybody. He's talking about you. Now, he's talking about the church here. We'll get to that in a minute, and I'll bring all that out. Whatsoever you shall bind, whatsoever you shall loose, you. God will back you up as long as you're doing legitimate binding and legitimate loosing. Now, I mentioned kingdom prayer a while ago. We all should have, as a believer, more than just a few months, we should have an understanding of how to pray. Now, I know a lot of people, I'm going to just hit this for a second, use, I don't remember exactly where it's at in the Bible. I tried to remember it the other day, and it slipped my mind. But what everybody calls the Lord's Prayer. Now, Jesus prayed that, but if you look in the verses before, he said, pray in this manner. The first verse starts off praising our Father. Where is he? Who art in heaven? Where does he rule from? In heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That's honor. That's praise. The next verse says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you get that? The authority of binding and loosing. Now one expression, I'm sorry, there's many things that comes under kingdom prayer, but we're talking about the expression of binding and loosing. Anybody that's born again and been in church very long, even in my younger years, I heard it some, but I never heard it prayed a lot. I heard it talked about some, but not like we do today, and there's a reason for that. That came into the things that God gave me about the churches, seven churches in Revelation. The church as a divine unit, so to speak, has moved through the ages to what it is today. This is the day that Jesus is talking about. It happened at times all the way through history. Today, if I've ever seen it more in my life, is more of a day for binding and loosing than there probably ever has been for the church. Now, who's the church? We are the born-again saints that decide to live their life in God's will, gathered together under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's who the church is. Now, the word bind in these scriptures comes from a Greek word. You pronounce it deo, I think, if I looked at it right. It's a verb. A verb is an action word. It means it's making action. And literally or figuratively, it means to be in bonds, to knit or tie together. You've held it back, killing its ability to move forward by knitting or tying it together. Oppositely, loosing, Greek word is luo. It means breaking up, to destroy or dissolve, to meld or put off, to release, and to free up. Although these things are very powerful for a born-again believer, it is not a magic formula. Nothing in God's kingdom is a magic formula. I don't even like to use the word formula, but I will say it. There's a lot of things, and most of the things, whenever God reveals them to you, are supernatural things. And when you got them, you better hang on to them. I'm telling you from experience. Because back yonder, when I thought I had them, and what few I did have, little bit I didn't hang on to. If I had, I could have pleased God a lot longer than I have up till now, as much as I can. The first thing, the next thing I want to bring out is this supernatural thing of binding and loosing is given to the church. Yes, you've probably seen something similar to that in the Old Testament. You've probably seen the apostles do it. What did the apostles do? Starting in Acts chapter 2, they gathered together and waited on power, and the church was born. Now, Paul uses the word bind in Scripture a couple of times to cast out demons and do other things. But Paul, so to speak, is the head and the pastor of the Gentile church. It is connected to the church. It's very important. You need to always remember that. Because, let's go over to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Now, in this chapter we see, and we've read it before, Jesus has asked Peter, "Who am I?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ." And Jesus is telling him in chapter 16, I'm going to start reading in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," and we know, we've been taught, it ain't Peter, that Peter is the rock, it's the revelation of who Christ is. He's Jesus the man and Christ in God. Have you ever wondered why he makes the next statements? Have you ever wondered? Let's go to the next verse. Zach, I'm sorry. Verse 18. Oh, okay. I can't see a good one. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 19. I'm getting there. I'm slow, but I'm getting there. Praise God. I'm just going to read that in my Bible that way I see it. Have you ever wondered why he said this next verse? I mean, it seems like it has to me in the past until it was Revelation. You know, yeah, I can see how that's tied together, but why did Jesus say this particular thing? It's because this thing is uniquely and most definitely tied to the church. Now, next thing I want you to notice, I'm going to read it. And Jesus said, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The first part of that, "I shall give thee the keys of the kingdom." He's not talking only to Peter, although Peter was the first one to use it. Because he is instrumental in God's plan, and he was a disciple of Jesus and an apostle. And in the first church, he used the keys of the kingdom. There are several keys. We'll get to a point of that later. But right now, we're talking about the key of binding and loosing. Remember, binding, let me give you the easiest demonstration of this. I know binding is you see something coming at you, it's from hell. Now, when I'm talking about hell this morning, I'm going to talk about Satan and evil spirits, evil things. I'm just going to call it hell. I have one word to speak because that's where it comes from. you see something from hell coming at you, and you know it's where it's from, you bind it. Now, the difference is, you see it coming at you, it ain't got you yet. When you have to lose is when it's got you. It's trying to defeat you. I mean, it's working hard. You feel like it's going to defeat you, but it won't. Because if you're part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he say? I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's so powerful that hell can operate against it, but will not overpower it. No way, shape, form, or fashion. When the Lord opened this up to me, I've been studying this about a week, here, there, off and on, spent about 4 hours on it last night. And I got in bed about midnight, and I said, keyed up, boy, like I said the other night, I want to call everybody, come to church at midnight, let's get this going. I need more than 45 minutes, but I ain't going to take one. If I don't get it, maybe I have an opportunity to get it soon, if I don't get it off. Now, remember that. Binding and loosing is believer's authority that's tied to the church. It's connected to the church. And because this specific authority is given to the church, where do you get this authority? At church. Now, church means the scope of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's building. Church also means in this context, this. Us, the local church. If you don't have the local church, you don't have Jesus' church. It's as simple as that. If you don't have gathered together, the assembly of gathering together, as the manner of some is, how can you build anything? Now, I know God can do all things, and he probably has a plan to do that, but this is the way he wants it done. It's working. If we do our part, it'll get done. Now, we come to church to sing praises, to worship, to hear the preacher preach, hallelujah and amen, that's good. To shake hands, to smile at each other, to feel the love. Now, when it's right, it feels good at church. You want to come to church. When it's wrong, don't mean the church is wrong all the time. Sometimes it may be us that's wrong. That's when you persevere and come on, because the church is going to prevail against it. That's your first step. Without even realizing it, you have bound something, even though it ain't spoken. Because you took that step and you come on to church and you're in the corporate anointing, as Brother Scotty correctly calls it, that kills all of that. Defeats it. Now, the other reason we should come to church, there's lots of them, but this one I'm going to talk about. The church is supposed to bring heavenly authority to earth. That's our job. Now, does everybody in here understand how an embassy and ambassadors work? Well, I'm going to explain it a little bit, even though we may know it. If the United States has an embassy, we'll say Israel. In Israel, that means whatever, either if it's for free, for money, whatever reason, the United States has a piece of ground and a building and a place that they can call the United States right smack dab in the middle of Israel. The laws of the United States apply to that place, not Israel, if it's done correctly. Most time a country that are, you know, at odds with each other, pretty bad, they're not going to let somebody, you know, have an embassy in their country, except maybe the United States. God help us. But the smart thing to do is, if you got somebody don't like you out there, won't do you harm, don't let them set up over shop over here in your place. But we're talking about two realms here. We're talking about the spiritual realm, and we're talking about the natural realm, the natural world. The church is the embassy to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19 tells us we have the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador has to have an embassy. As Blake used to say, ta-da. This is our embassy. Our job as the church, and not only us as the local church, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be heaven on earth. I thank God for this, because I've been in some that felt like hell on earth. There's a reason for that. Whenever church is successful, it's going to feel like heaven on earth. When a church is not successful, it's going to feel like hell on earth. It's going to manifest and look like hell on earth. It's in a defeated state. And the church doesn't realize it, the local church, if that's happening. Now, a lot of people might get upset at me, and I ain't pointing no fingers at anybody. But the brother Ed Belew used to say, he's walking along with his grandpa one day, and there's a bunch of dogs over there eating on something dead in the ditch, and they got up a rock and throw it at them. One of them yelped, and they all run. Brother Ed said, I was a boy. I said, Grandpa, which one of them dogs you hit? He said, the one that yelped. So it's God's word. Brother Scott says, I didn't write. I'm just telling you what God showed me. The church represents another realm, heaven on earth. We're given homeland authority. In this embassy ambassador thing I'm telling you about, the ambassador goes to the country, and he represents the country he's from. The church in the spiritual realm represents on earth heaven. Because this is not our home. This is where we live. But the church is given homeland authority to operate in the natural from the spiritual. From the real world into eternity. The natural realm is where the church lives. The eternal realm is where the church should operate. Now, Jesus says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means overpower it. He didn't say it would operate against it. Notice that. But it will not prevail. When God created the earth, let me back up. Jesus is building a church that's so powerful, hell cannot, will not stop it. I want to be in that church. Anything else that you're in, not going to prevail. Just because the building says church don't necessarily mean it's the church. That's up between you and the Lord, where you're going to be a local church, be tied into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the members all across the world and the realm and eternity, where we're going to be. That's the reason it's so very important. Brother Scotty preaches, faith starts where the will of God is known. When you get your faith built and you start seeking God's will, God's going to tell you what He wants. And I'm a perfect example of that if you have your spiritual ears open, Monty. For a while I had mine, I don't know if it's closed or not, they just didn't hear. You know how that happens? You forsake this. When I say forsake, I mean you let off a little bit. For a long time, I didn't read my chapter in the Bible. Here lately, I've been starting, going back and reading it. I'll ask April. I don't read it. I listen to it on my phone, but I get it. And Jesus also said, the gates of hell shall not overpower it, the church. He did not say it shall not overpower me. What does that mean? It means we have a role to play, people. Jesus has given us everything we need, but we have something we have to do. And like I said a while ago, anytime it appears that hell is defeating the church, it's because it's not building Jesus' church. It's building something and putting Jesus' name on it. In the name of Jesus. Now, another word I want you to look at is gates. In the Bible, the word gate is very specific. We're getting to a point. Y'all heard, I spoke about it once before, y'all heard people speak about legalism in the Bible. I'm going to get to some of that concerning this particular thing. Gates is a specific term used in the Bible. If you go back in the Old Testament, I remember reading one time about David. His son Absalom went to the gate and waited for the devout men, the leaders of the city, and people like that come where he could talk to him. He was setting up a plan to go up against David. There's other places in the Bible that says, and they met at the gates of the city. What that means, it's a legal place, just like town hall, courthouse. Now, they might have had a building, but back then, they used the gates. Now, I don't know if it was the gate you walked into the city. It didn't say that, but it says at the gate. It's a legal place. It may have been a building. But what's what Jesus is talking about here? He's talking about legally. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell cannot defeat us as a born-again believer nor the church with power, but it can with legality. What does that mean? I think I've used this before. If you live in a community where you know everybody and everything's going well, but you've got a neighbor over here that's doing something illegal, let's say he's a drug dealer, everybody knows him, but they ain't caught him. Well, legally, he can live there. Now, he may be doing something illegal, but he can live there. And you go over here and you're doing something. I don't know what it is. Just pick something. You do it. It's illegal. It's against law. And your neighbor sees it. 911 says, hey, so-and-so's over here. Monty's over here. Did this, that. Boom, law's out there. You're in trouble. Your neighbor has just done exactly to you what Satan and hell does to the members of the church. Legally, they can. Your neighbor can pick up the phone and report something against you, accuse you, or do whatever to get something on you to bring you down. Satan and hell does not have power against us, but legally, it can deceive us into thinking we do. When we are deceived, we go into our mind and our goes into our heart. Remember what we told: what goes in here goes in here. Coaches give their teams a pep talk before a game. You know why? Yeah. They don't go in there telling us, well, boys, you know, this looks bad. There's no negativity in it. They go in there and tell them, you go in there and win. You go in there and do what you got to do. Because the way we are wonderfully made, when it gets in up here, even in the natural, it goes in here, and you fight for that. You make a, you know, in your mind, your heart, and your being, you make a beeline. And most of the time, when you put that much effort into it of yourself, you come out victorious. Same way with the kingdom. But you got the devil and hell over here throwing stuff at you and deceiving you because your spiritual ears is dull. And guess what happens? You're over here trying to operate in the kingdom, but you're listening to the wrong thing. Now, how did hell and Satan get this power? This is good. The Lord told me this because I asked him, said, Lord, how'd that happen? And you know what the Lord said? Said, you did it. In the Garden of Eden, God created earth and created man and saw that it was good. If God says something is good, I'd say it's perfect. In the Garden of Eden, in this good, perfect place, mankind, and people might say, well, Eve done it. Well, Adam was there because it says that she gave it to Adam. It didn't say she had to go run and hunt Adam down. Now, no, it don't say Adam standing right there, but it don't say she went and ran him down. Adam allowed it, and God gave him, this is another message itself, dominion to rule and told them both. Well, Eve let hell, Satan, evil, deceive her into disobeying God. Boom. That's how evil legally got into the world. We did it. Now you can stand up and praise God if you want to, because God made a way for us to get out of that. We have to live in this world that's cursed by sin, but we don't have to live a life with sin controlling us and dominating us. Even though it's still here, this world has not been rid of the sin curse yet. It will be. And hell can still operate legally in this world, because the author of sin is Satan, and he is the prince of this world because we give him power. Now, I say that because Adam, the first man, so to speak, is my brother. You might say, well, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, well. Hey, are you perfect? We would have done something. It's disobedience. Jesus is telling us, hell shall not prevail against it. And like I just said, we've got to understand this legalistic viewpoint. Now, don't get me wrong. It is preached, and I'm not saying anything against that. As a believer and as we have authority, we can stand up against hell. We put the armor on. You read Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not saying anything against that. But we have an authority from the church. It's a key. It says in verse 19, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is where God rules. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm giving you access to me to legislate from here. Heaven. Legislate means to operate under the confines of laws, God's laws, legally. Back down to earth where you live. Why that's important is, even though Satan thought he had mankind trapped and going to destroy him, God made a way through Jesus, the church, for us to legally stand up against this legal thing that's coming against us. Hallelujah. That's awesome. It says in verse 19, whatsoever you shall bind and loose on earth shall be bound and loosed in heaven. What exactly are we binding and loosing? As I said before, binding is to tie it up, keep it moving, coming against you. I'll give you some examples. I'm sure everybody and most people in this congregation has had it come in their life. We'll start with one that's prevalent today, addiction. Addiction don't start immediately. Like Brother Scotty says, I'm firm belief it is not a disease. It is from the pits of hell. It is a legalistic thing Satan throws at us because we live in this body, in this sin-cursed world that keeps us trapped away from God and His kingdom. And who's letting it happen? We are. It's not a disease. A disease is something that you can't necessarily control until you get it over in the spiritual realm. And then you can get God, I'll get that later, and get some help and control it if you need it. Abuse. The spirit of lack in your finances or any other place in your life that you need it. Abuse past or present, death, sickness, disease, debt, all of those things we have authority to bind. Legally. Number one, because we're born again Christian. Anybody that hears the sound of my voice, I know we're on Facebook, probably YouTube. If you're not born again, you can't do this. I'm not being smart. I'm telling you a fact. You have no hope. If you're born again and you're not connected to the church God wants you to be in, you're defeated because you can't do this. I remember one time, Brother Richard probably remembered it. We were sitting at a place, I don't remember, we hauled coal together. And we had a big old line of trucks. I bet there's 25, 30 of us. And we, of course, me and Richard being Christians, somebody said something about God, and we got to talking about it. And one driver said this, and it struck me as I didn't even know what exactly he was talking about. He said, we can have church right here. We are the church. I should have said no. I think Richard said something, kind of disagreed with him, if I remember right, because I knew everybody there wasn't born again. How did I know that? Well, let's see. Some people might say, get on to me about this. The things you do, the things you say, the way you act is not fruits of the Spirit. If you're a born-again Christian, you don't have the fruits of the Spirit, and you'll find them in Galatians 5:22, then something's wrong in your life, and you're disconnected from the church. If you're disconnected from the church, you cannot have this key. It's for the church. It comes through the church. Now, you have authority in your life through Jesus as a born-again believer to fight spiritual warfare, but to bind and loose comes from the church. You don't have your own private little set of key rings. And we are to use them against hell in our own situations and also to help our brothers and sisters. Now, there are instances where God will present them. Once you are connected to the church, you can bind and loose things outside the church. Paul did it. On a phrase from the Bible, if you so be of the church. Now, there's a thing in the Bible called, it's actually legality. Y'all have heard it. It's two or three witnesses. You find it in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and chapter 18. I'm not going to go there. Basically, it just says you cannot bring an accusation against a person except from the mouth of two or three witnesses. And then you cannot, we would call it sentencing. A person worthy of death cannot be put to death except at the witness of two or three people. Our government has borrowed, and you know, no, this is ironic. Ironic means it don't make sense. Our government, in the beginning of our country, borrowed this precept from the Bible to set up our civil judicial system, and now in this day and time there's so many loopholes cut, punched, and shot in it that it's just unreal, even though they still use it. But it's a biblical legal aspect. Now, why did I say that? Let's turn to chapter 18. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 16. Now, the reason I want to speak about this, I'm trying to be clear. I don't want to confuse anybody. The aspect of legality for two or three witnesses in the Bible is biblical because God set it up that way for the children of Israel, and it works. It's God's law. And in chapter 18, a lot of it Jesus is talking about is having to do with order in the church. Now, I'm going to start in verse 15. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more." Now, it's you. You and one other, what's that? One and one is two. You and two others is what? One and two is three. Two or three witnesses. That's the reason I want to bring that out. If he will not hear you, if you hear thee, then take with thee two or three more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. That's, remember that. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, then let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. That's how strong the legalistic standpoint of two or three witnesses is. Now, I want you to look again. In verse 18 and 19, he's saying the same thing he did in chapter 16. You ever wondered about that? This goes to the context. Verily, that word verily means surely. I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There again is the promise. You have the authority through the church to bind what's coming at you to loose what's got you through the church. Now, how do you know it's the church? How do I, why do I say that? Look down at verse 20. For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, lots of people like to use that verse and just get two or three people together and praise the Lord. That doesn't necessarily work. If God's in it, God's in it. If God ain't, God ain't. Now, and it can't be just two or three ordinary people. It's got to be two or three Christians, because two or three ordinary people is not born again. It has no part whatsoever in the church. None. A born again Christian does, but they can still be on the edge. They can have Jesus on the edge out here of their lives. And I know how that feels, because I've lived like that. I've lived with him. What, you know, I just, Jesus, go out there and, you know, stand. I'm going to go over here and do this. You just chunked everything God gave you in authority out the window as a born-again Christian. Basically, the corner phrase, you're a bench warmer. You're coming to church. You're singing the praises. You're shaking hands. You're fellowshipping. But what else are you doing? That ain't all God said for us to do. Therefore, Jesus has authorized us, the church, to be the legal entity connecting heaven to earth. If you're not in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have this authority. What I mean by that, you can be born again and not have it. I lived like that. I'm talking about binding and loosing. Now, this is not something you say, oh, well, praise God, I'm born again, I'm in the right church, blah, 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 blah. It's not a magic formula. But praise God, it's supernatural. I'm going to tell you how I know. You don't necessarily have to use the words bind and loose, but if you do, and you do it legitimately according to God's word and will, it's going to work. I think y'all heard me say one time we lived out on Straight Mountain, there was a bad storm, tornadoes was coming. I was a little bit concerned, boy. Big old trees out there, and there's a bunch of them doing this. Then they're going around and around. And we was watching, us standing out on the front porch. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. And, you know, looking at the radar and everything, the weather is coming right toward us across that mountain. And in a few minutes, I heard trees. I'm telling you, I heard trees popping and cracking. I'm not talking about limbs. I'm talking about trees. I could tell it. And I started running the house, me and April both, and getting to a spot where we called our safe spot, and I stopped. Now, not knowing it, but standing, and I said, Lord, I refuse to run from this. I stand up and I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. I just bound what was coming at me and my family. I didn't realize I was doing it. That's the kind of authority that you can have, but you can only have it. And we was connected to the church. Praise God, I'm not tooting my horn or our horn. We love coming to church. I love seeing you guys, but I want to come here and be with Jesus. I want all he's got for me. I want to be all he wants me to be, and I want to do it to please God. And you can forget the assembly having any kind of spiritual authority if there's disagreement. And I'm not talking about, well, Brother Scott, I don't think you should have done that. I can disagree with my pastor and do it in love and not put disunity in the church or strife. But wherever there is that as a whole and it's not bound and cast out, you can forget spiritual authority working. Not in the members, not in the administration, so to speak, in the pastor or anybody. If there's disunity in the church and it's not straightened out, spiritual authority will not happen. God is not the author of confusion. But when the church is aligned properly, oh, it is heaven on earth. Well, I can see now I'm not going to have time to get to everything. So, Let me kind of summarize some things for you. We must bind and loose. That is our job. Authority given to the church from Jesus. To do this, we must bring God's perspective into play. The keys of the kingdom. There's more than one keys because there's more than one gate of hell that comes against us legally. I ain't getting into that. That's another message. And we must talk to God in prayer, because you remember the verse that says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, in the midst there I am. There's another verse that's indirectly tied to that that says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, the Father will do it. That's prayer. So we have to talk to God. We must be in agreement with God. Now, the two or three in agreement can't mean that they agree on whatever it is, because two of us could agree on something in this church to go against our pastor and be completely out of God's will. Or three, or four, or five, or 50. We've got to be in agreement with God. We must be linked and connected to the church, the local assembly and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the legal entity. Nowhere else does Jesus talk about this except here and for the church. And we must do it in His name, Jesus' name. You know why? Jesus said, the Father has given me power in heaven and in earth, all things above and all things below. He is the key. There's only one, the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's our promise from God. That protects us. You might say, how? If the lost people could do this, what's the benefit of the saved people doing it? Jesus is in charge. He is the link. Now, He will only give His authority when we operate on His authority, based on His keys, connected with His institution, the church, done by agreement with Him, done in His name, and also when He is in the midst of us. Jesus has to be the center. This right here is not a declaration. I know my pastor. I know he means it. The fruit of his life, his testimony proves it. Binding and loosing is tied to authority. Authority is tied to Christ. Christ is tied to the church. Binding and loosing is tied through connectivity by agreement with Christ. Then the provision of divine authority comes from heaven, the Father, who responds when we do all of this in His name, Jesus' name. If we're not subjected and submitted to Christ and use His name, it's an illegal use, and therefore there's no divine authority. Binding and loosing will not happen. If we ignore the spiritual, if we ignore the keys, if we ignore the connection with the church, if we ignore the agreement, if we ignore all these things, and we will not get help from heaven while we're trying to battle darkness on earth. We can only gain victory because we've engaged the authority of heaven God's way. We have pulled down heaven into earth. And when we do this, we'll see the power of binding and loosing. And our lives will change like you have never seen it change before in your life, your spiritual life. That's all I got this morning.